Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Without further ado, Rob Thomas.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you, my friend?
Super good. You know, you have a brand new album that's out now, Chiptooth Smile.
That's a nice thing to hear after all these years. It's nice to hear those words said out loud.
Yeah, because your last
brand new record.
Your last album didn't come out since 2015.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I didn't realize that I was gone that long.
You were.
In that, you know, because I put out that record, then I toured that summer, then I toured the next summer, and then I toured the next summer with Matchbox 20. And then last summer, I worked on this record. So it always felt like I was doing something. I didn't really realize that I hadn't really done anything new in that long.
But you know what? As a fan of yours, I really do enjoy when you go back and forth.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it's cathartic for me. I think it's great for fans. I think if you go out one summer and you see a couple of shows with Solo, and then it's a whole different vibe. It's just, you know, it's like a whole different group of friends that you visit in like literally and figuratively, right? Like I got my brothers in Matchbox, but then there's all these little songs that I miss after not playing them for a year or two. So I think it's a really good thing for me. And then everybody in Matchbox became so collaborative that it had to happen that way. Like everybody has their own things they want to do. Paul with his film scoring, but even, you know, within the band, everybody started writing more, and I write so much that I needed a place to go to drop those things off.
So Chiptooth Smile is officially out.
Mm-hmm.
And how's it feel to have this project out there for everyone to hear?
If people like it, then that's good. And if not, it's not good. I mean, it's, you know, it's really great. Like, I think it's funny because you sit on this record, like you make this record, and I've been living with it for a really, really long time. And so it starts to feel old in a way to me, you know, but then now that when it's out and I know that people listen to it again, I kind of listen to it with fresh ears and, you know, getting really excited about touring it and getting to hear some of these songs live.
Which your tour kicks off this summer.
It's going to happen this summer with Abby Anderson. We're taking out Abby Anderson.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Going all cross country. Back to your album, your first single, One Less Day, Dying Young, is about some friends who passed away early in life.
Yeah, it's... Well, I mean, yeah, that was kind of what started it. I mean, me and Adam from the Crows were sitting backstage and we were having this conversation about, you know, the best you can hope for is to get old enough to not die young. And then we were like, you know, he's like, well, every day, you know, we get a little bit farther away from it.
Yeah.
And so I went and wrote this chorus and I just kind of been sitting on that chorus. And then, you know, one Christmas we lost George Michael, who was a friend of the family. And then we lost one of our dearest friends in the world, Jason Browning, who...
Yeah, that's a hard one.
It was this idea, and then everybody sings about being young forever, you know, and everybody talks about how, oh, it sucks to get old, and you want to stop and shake them and be like, well, you know, that's...
You should be thankful
yeah,
for...
Yeah, the alternative is bleak. Like, there's only two options. You either get old or you don't get old, you know?
Yeah.
You don't. You only live once, you only die once, you know? Mm-hmm. And so once you realize that it's a privilege that's not afforded to everyone, you kind of look at it in a much different way.
And
you want to get older, you know?
This song definitely brings a light of getting older.
Yeah, I think so. And it's not... I think, you know, it's not even about getting old. Like, in my case, it may, you know, it might be, but I think... You know, this is also about, you know, there are kids in their teens that are having a hard time that need to realize that they need to see their 20s, you know, in 20s they need
100%.
To see their 30s. So I think it's more than just about getting old. It's just about literally
living your life.
Yeah, living every day and trying to realize that every day is a win.
Yes. And right now we're actually going to play it for you. Right now, here's Rob Thomas with One Less Day, Dying Young.
Love that song.
And we're back with Rob Thomas. Thank you so much for stopping with us today and talking about your brand new album, Chiptooth Smile. But we're going to go back.
All right.
We're going to go back to Smooth.
Smooth.
And Matchbox 20, you know, Push, 3 a.m., Back to Good, Unwell. Such big, iconic songs. With Smooth, you know, this album turns 20 this year.
And that's kind of crazy.
Is that weird
that
to you?
It's unbelievable to think about, like, all of that time that's passed. It's weird. Like, you know, these sometimes, like, things simultaneously feel like they were yesterday and they've always just been.
Yeah.
You know, like, in some way. And so I think, like, Smooth is like that for me.
You and Carlos got to do something, man.
Well, you know, it's funny.
So, oh, exclusive.
So I was actually talking to Carlos a few nights ago, a little while ago, because, you know, he got that record with Rick Rubin. And so he's got this record with Rick Rubin. He's going out this summer, and we're trying to figure out how we can make something work, because one of the best things that came out of Smooth was this friendship that Carlos and I have, and we talk pretty regularly. You know, we catch up with each other and see what's going on. And he's been a good mentor for me, you know, when I want to bounce things off of him. But when we did Smooth, the next thing that happened, Clive Davis immediately, I went into Clive's office and they played me that Game of Love song that Michelle Branch did, which was like the next big single on the first big single on that next record. And I was just like, man, I don't think trying to do Smooth again is going to happen. You know what I mean? I was like, this was a really special moment that we had. It's just going to, no matter what, it's going to be perceived as trying to take another swing at something like that. And me and Clive really got into a heated argument. And Clive is another, you know, someone who I've become really good friends with. But we kind of got into it. So for that record, I wound up writing songs with Carlos, for Carlos. So I wrote like the song that Mary J. Blige did, and I wrote a song that Seal did, and I wrote a song that Music Soul Child did. So like I got to still work with Carlos just behind the scenes, which is originally what I was going to do with Smooth, was just be a writer.
And then last minute he goes, you want to sing it?
Yeah, last minute he was just like, I like the guy on the demo. Does he sing?
You know? Really?
Yeah.
See?
And he had no idea, you know, who I was.
That's where my question was actually going, is how did that collaboration come? Because that song is the biggest of the big. Like, nominated 3 Grammys, won 3 Grammys.
It was a perfect timing, right? Like, it was that perfect storm. It was Carlos's year, obviously. You know, that Supernatural was like 9 Grammy year. It was like Thriller kind of Grammy numbers. And that was like the lead float in that parade. I mean, that was it all happened because that whole album was amazing. You know, you had Maria, and you had Love of My Life, and you had the Dave Matthews, and you had Eric Clapton, and you had, you know, or Lauryn Hill. But originally, I literally was just stepping in to write a song. It was going to be the first time I wanted to write a song for another artist and not be a singer.
And then you end up singing it.
And then I wound up singing it. I went to the guys in Matchbox, and we had not even started yet on Mad Season. So they were like, I remember Paul just asked me, he's like, is it like Living La Vida Loca? And I was like, no. I was like, it's a Carlos song. You know, it's Carlos Santana. And he's like, yeah, go ahead. I don't care.
Wow.
But I think it's a weird thing because we had just come off of, you know, 13, 15 million records or something. And I kind of thought I was a big deal. And then
that happened.
Yeah. And then you realize when you do something, if you're ever lucky enough to be a part of something that's just cultural worldwide, it's a game changer. I know if I'm walking through the streets of Greece and somebody comes up to me and goes, I love that song, I know what song they're talking about. Yeah.
Smooth. We're going to throw it back right now and play Smooth for you right now. That song is amazing. And to this day, you turn it on the radio and you turn it up and you sing it.
I think like a lot of songs from 20 years ago of my songs from 20 years ago, I have a hard time listening to the recordings of them.
Really?
Because they exist in this vacuum of a way, like I'm hearing the production, I'm kind of hearing. So there's a lot of songs that I'm okay, I think, if I never hear again, but I like playing them every night.
Okay.
Like playing them and having that live energy and kind of like sharing that experience every night. Like Real World, I'm okay if I don't hear Real World, but I love playing it.
I was going to say, you say something about in other interviews where you say like you don't really like the first album because you sound so like twangy.
Yeah, like I like singing them now. I like the first album with my voice now better than I liked it in. But I was, you know, I was learning as I went along. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, 100%. Well, the one thing about Smooth, too, is like you are on Funny or Die with Smooth. T-shirts that say, like, I'd rather be listening to Grammy Award-winning Smooth by Santana featuring. Like, please tell me you own that shirt.
No, but
you need to get it.
No, but I do love that shirt. I think my mom has the mug.
We're back with our chip-tooth conversation with Rob Thomas. You have a son.
I do.
Who's in a musician now.
He's going to Berklee College of Music. He's a junior. He's got his band that he's trying to do his stuff. But it's not like I'm trying to kind of stay half out of it unless he wants me in. You know, like he sends me new songs and I check them out and I
give me your best advice.
If he wants my opinion, I'll give him my opinion. But I tried. I've never pushed him into this. Like since he was like 12 or 13, he just started playing music and loved it.
Your album is out. Another song on this album is called I Love It.
The demo, it's my son playing guitar.
Wow.
Because him and I wrote that together.
Aww.
He was at my house and we were just, you know, as we do, like late at night, we go down to the studio and we just kind of screw around and he started playing bow now now bow now bow now 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 now. And so we started messing around with it and I wrote the whole song exactly as it is, but with no lyrics.
Okay.
You know, so it was just like, I'm here and I'm out here, don't hear no how, dear bad or never. And then we wrote it and it just kind of sat there. And then me and Butch, so I was telling everybody for a long period of time that I was making a record with Butch Walker. I just never told Butch, right?
So what if he would have said no?
I wasn't going to let it happen. I was manifest destiny. I mean, Butch was my friend in any way, but we'd never worked together. I'd known him for over a decade. I knew him since back when he was in the Marvelous 3. But I was just like, you know, I knew I needed a change. I knew I wanted to work with someone else. And I was just like, it's Butch Walker. And Stacey Jones, you know, our drummer, he was like, yeah, man, he worked with Butch. He said, this guy's amazing. So I just told everybody I was going to manifest my own destiny. And I made that happen. So we figured out we were going to do it. And I remember I was in an airport and I got a call that said they were looking for a song for Deadpool 2. But they wanted to use it in the trailers and use it as like the, you know, and they reached out to me to write a song.
Really?
This song that me and Mason had written. And I sent it to Butch. And literally overnight, he sends me back the full track just done.
Wow.
You know, with a much more thought out guitar, like a really, you know, Butch Walker gritty guitar. And then so I went back home and I wrote the lyrics out. I actually wrote the lyrics in the backseat of the car on the way from the airport.
Wow.
That day, like I had my laptop out and I was like typing out lyrics. So I had all the lyrics done, went back home, cut a demo vocal, sent it out to Butch, and then we sent it off. And then they wound up using a song by the White Stripes instead.
But
it worked out because that got us off our ass for a minute and like made us record the first song of the record.
This is technically the first song of the record.
The first thing that we did, and we had that. And then we realized that nothing else we were doing really sounded like it. And we're like, well, do we want to put this on the record? And then same way, like there's other songs on the record, like a song called Man to Hold the Water.
Mm-hmm.
It's a ballad, and there's a ballad called Breathe Out that's at the end of the record. And those were two other songs. These three songs didn't really fit the other nine songs that we had going on. But then at the same time, I thought that if I put something in either to create the idea of an aesthetic that I had, or if I took something out because I didn't think it fit in stylistically, but I really did believe it was one of the best things that I had written, then it wasn't a genuine record.
Yeah.
Like, in the truth, it just turns out that whatever my 12 best songs that I'd written, you know, in the last, since 2015 or whatever, that just happens to be what they are, even if they don't all sound like sometimes they're on the same record.
But the album is so good. There's some songs on there that sounds like maybe like original Rob Thomas, and then there's sounds that I on there that I'm like, oh, Cradle songs, Something to Be. Like,
sure.
I love it. I love it all.
So, you know, Butch plays almost every instrument on this record.
Isn't it just you and Butch, right?
It's just me and Butch. There's a couple, his drummer from his band, the Black Widows, plays drums on a few of the tracks. And Matt Beck plays, my music director, plays a keyboard on one of the tracks on It's Only Love.
Okay.
And then everything else is just me and Butch. So it's a weird thing to be able to have what I feel like is it feels like a vital band feel, but it's just all Butch playing it, you know?
But that's pretty cool.
He just has this way of doing it. So I think that there's like a, there's a freedom there for him and I to like, you know, what we wanted, I think this is sounding a little 80s. Let's keep it a little 80s. Let's like find all these little 80s references that we grew up with.
Well, I was going to note that coming up, but first let's hear I Love It. We're back with more of a chiptooth conversation with Rob Thomas on radio.com. I will say this, while listening to the album, I noticed that this album, you're a little bit more behind the scenes with your life.
Yeah.
There's a song, Funny.
Yeah, Funny. Funny is in particular, I think, a very autobiographical song where, and that was a song to me that was about, you know, when Madi was going through a really, really hard time, and I had to let her know that my life before I met her was pretty untenable as it was, and I went through a lot of things, and all of those things that I went through prepared me for where I am now, so that there's nothing I would change about our situation. It's hard, you know what I mean? Sometimes we really wish it was a lot easier, but I wouldn't change anything about our situation because that kind of adversity doesn't really scare me, just because, you know, when we're going through a hard time.
We'll be back with more of a chiptooth conversation with Rob Thomas on radio.com after this. And we are back with a chiptooth conversation with Rob Thomas on radio.com. The next song we're going to talk about, We Were Beautiful, was actually collaboration with Benny Blanco. How did that come to be?
Benny is, he's Benny Blanco.
Yes.
He's one of the hardest working, most prolific producers that are out there. He's just a buddy of mine in New York, you know, and you just go to his house and he just kind of just has the most kind of chill vibe, and next thing you know, you're just like boom, 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 you got a record. And he's like, literally, he's like over here, and he's like, well, over here in the bedroom, like he's literally just standing, like his bedroom is like a mattress on the floor, and there's a mic just sitting in the middle of the room. He's like, well, that's where Katy Perry did Fireworks, right there.
Corner.
Yeah. That song is funny because that song was about, it's literally about one photograph that we have in our kitchen. It's a photograph of me, my wife, and our best friend Dayon from Australia, however many years ago, and my wife and I were standing looking at it, and she said, oh, she goes, you know, we were beautiful when we were young. And I was like, and I realized in that minute what she meant. Like, she wasn't talking about aesthetic beauty. She was talking about the promise of youth. You know what I mean? That there's something just beautiful about that. Like, we were hopeful and we were beautiful. And so, and then I ran downstairs and wrote this song. And so it just kind of all, it all poured out. And so when I went to Benny's, I played him like three or four songs just in his, on the acoustic, and that was the one he wanted to do. So it turns out like that's the only one on the record that Butch didn't produce.
Is the We Were Beautiful. I have to say, when does that happen a lot in your life where someone will say a quote and you're like, hold up, that would make a great song.
Yeah, I have a folder in my phone of those.
Really?
Yeah, of just like certain phrases that just strike me funny. You know what I mean?
Like what's the latest?
I think probably I think I love it. Like the line, like I heard someone once say, I are you kidding me? I love feeling nothing. And I was like, that's a really great thing. You know, I love feeling nothing, you know, because that is a song about like anesthetizing yourself to some degree. And
yeah.
Just like, and really just in whatever way you find, you know, the least harmful.
My take on the song as just a fan listening to it is being young and more carefree with your life.
Yeah, it really is. And having the ability to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like time is a valuable, valuable thing. It's the one thing that you can't get back. It's the one thing that every second that goes by, it's gone. And you really, really waste a lot of it when you're young. And I think you're supposed to. Do you know what I mean? Like they say youth is wasted on the young, but it's not true. Like youth is exactly where it's supposed to be. You know, like when everybody says I'd love to go back and I would love to go back knowing what I know now.
And
that
redo my 20s.
I want to go back not knowing what I know now. That was the best part of being young.
And growing up.
Yeah, I didn't
those
know.
Those bad relationships,
no idea. I was naive. I was, you know, and I still am to some degree. The only difference is when you're in your 20s, you're like, oh, I can't believe how stupid I was in my teens. And then your 30s, you're like, oh, but in my 20s, I was a baby. You know, and in your 40s, you're like, oh, but 30. Now, like in my 40s, I'm like, I know that I don't know anything. And I know that in my 50s, I'm going to know even more than I know how little I know now. So I think that song is kind of just, it covers like all of that. There's a lot of mortality on this record. There's a lot of, and it's not even grappling with it. It's not that kind of like, you know, dealing with my own mortality kind of things. It's just about a matter of fact kind of thing of like, this is, you know, we are all hurling towards an inevitable demise that we know is going to be there. And somehow we still smile and we still wake up and we mm-hmm. still find these reasons. And I think that's kind of a fascinating idea to me.
Yep. And we're going to continue this chip-tooth conversation with Rob Thomas on radio.com. But right now, we're going to play We Were Beautiful.
I am not
such a great song, Rob. You know, we are in the chip-tooth conversation with Rob Thomas on radio.com. And the next song we're going to talk about is Timeless. And this next song totally grabbed my attention because I could not help but smile during the whole thing. There's little Easter eggs throughout the song of references to some famous 80 songs. We were talking about it. How many are there?
I think there's 17 or 18 different song titles in there. The whole idea was like...
I only got eight.
It was like a scavenger hunt, right?
But
it was,
yeah.
It was an 80s song about listening to an 80s song that's made up of 80s songs. And Butch, this is also the only song on the record that Butch and I wrote together.
Okay.
Together. Like he has a writing credit on I Love It because he wrote that whole cool bridge section, the solo section that I didn't have before. But this one, he actually sent me this track with this chorus in it.
Okay.
And I don't even think at the time he was thinking the fact that it said, you know, all this talk of modern love.
Yeah.
And then it says nothing compares to you in it. And so I was like, you know, that's really cool. I've got this idea. So I went down to my studio and I was literally sitting like at my studio recording lines while my wife was texting me 80s song titles and ideas. Like,
so you're trying to fit
records.
Them in.
And I'm like, oh yeah, oh, that's a good one. And going through. So if there's any, like this is the only song on the record that's not really technically an autobiographical thing because it's more of an experiment. Do you know what I mean?
And it's super fun though. The song is super fun. And like I said, it just made me smile the whole time.
It's a lot of fun. And I think it's faithfully 80s. You know, like it really has that vibe right from the very beginning with that guitar line all the way down to the Phil Collins drum thing at the end.
Yeah.
You know, that I didn't realize. So technically in real life, you can't copyright a drum fill. That's not something that, you know, not a lyric or a melody. But that one is so famous that we still went and got permission just to make sure that nobody was going to get mad that we used it, because it wasn't exactly it, but it's definitely that fill, you know,
yeah.
Especially at the top.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, I feel like Vanilla Ice where he's going, no, mine goes doom, 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 doom. Right? I'm like, no, because at the end it goes, butta, 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 butta. You know, I was like, so it's totally different. It's not it
totally different song. Don't sue me. All right. Right now we're going to hear Timeless. Let's see if you actually can catch all of the references that he makes. You said 17. I only got 9.
I think 17.
All right. So Chiptooth Smile is officially out. Everyone go check it out. Get it where music is sold. But I have to ask, you know, I'm in a fan club of Matchbox 20 Rob Thomas fans. And as soon as you release this album
By the way, I just want everyone listening to this to know that This is not lip service. She actually is. Heather, we have known Heather for a very, very long time. And she started off as working working at the bottom.
Bottom of the radio station, yeah.
But a legitimate fan.
Legitimate fan. I saw you were my first concert.
And then became a legitimate friend over the years.
Yes. 10 or 11 years old.
Yeah.
Train opened for you. It was a great time. I still have that t-shirt.
That was great. That was the summer we were out there in 9/11.
Yeah.
Big year.
As a fan, I'm in the fan club memberships on Facebook, and as soon as you release this title, everyone's like, I love the name of it, but it's grammatically incorrect, and it was bugging a lot of people.
It is, and a lot of people told me. I know that it's supposed to be chipped tooth smile. I'm aware of that, and we wrote it out a million different ways. Like, we wrote it chipped tooth smile, we wrote chipped tooth smile, and we just kept looking at it, and I just liked the aesthetic of three words, chip, tooth, smile. And then chipped tooth smile, it didn't roll off the tongue. I mean, first off, chipped tooth smile doesn't really roll off the tongue to begin with, but chipped tooth smile
doesn't
is
really
even
either.
Harder. It doesn't really do it. And I was thinking about, there's a great Lemonheads record called Car Button Cloth. And I was thinking about that car button cloth, chip, tooth, smile. Because it's almost like three separate words, you know, that somehow work together.
So when people read it, they should read it as chip, tooth, smile.
Chip, tooth, smile. And I know it's not grammatically correct, but that's called artistic license. And I'll pull it out and show you if I have to, officer.
So there you go, fans. It's artistic.
Yeah, you know, what's funny about this record, and I say this, I've always done a certain way. I sit in a room and I write a bunch of songs, and then when I'm ready, I make a record. Then I finish that record, and then I come to my record label and I say, here's my record. And then we go out and conquer the world and try and, you know, put that record out into people's ear holes. And I wanted to try something different on my last record, on The Great Unknown. It was kind of like an experiment where I didn't come in with a whole bunch of plan.
The Great Unknown, by the way, if you've never heard that song, you need to go listen to it right now.
It was one of my favorite songs.
It's the greatest
that I've
song
ever written. I love that song. Thank you. But I didn't feel that connection to that record. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like as a whole, like it wasn't every record up until then had been like a little diary about my life and had little stories that I could always pinpoint through there. And I didn't like that disconnect. So this record, Chipped Tooth Smile, it felt more like going back to that idea of like, I'm just going to sit in a room, I'm going to write on the guitar, I'm going to get on the piano, I'm just going to keep writing songs until I have enough songs that I really, really like. And so then that's how this record got born.
And the album name comes from the fact that you have a...
I chipped my tooth when I was like somewhere between 17, 18, somewhere around there when I was slam dancing at a club.
dancing?
Yeah, and my front tooth just chipped right off. And now, I'll show you... After the interview, I'll show you. I have a picture of it right after it chipped, when it's really, really chipped.
Okay.
But now, over the years, it's been like 30 years now, so it's worn down to just a little bit. But if you look at it, it's still there. My wife wouldn't let me fix it when I got dental work. She just, she liked it, and she always called it my chipped tooth smile.
It's character.
I think so. That's what she said.
That's awesome. All right, so you're going on tour. Kicks off May 28th in New Jersey. You got 46 dates. You're bringing out Abby Anderson.
Yes, I love touring.
I got to quote this, and I'm quoting you. One of the greatest things I ever heard you say at one of your concerts was, we're going to lock all the doors tonight, we're going to forget all of our problems, and we're just going to have fun. And that is definitely what a Rob Thomas concert is.
Yeah, you have to leave everything outside. I mean, nobody comes to a concert to bring their problems up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's amazing, you know, in this day and age, that anybody would leave their house to do anything. And then the fact that, like, you know, that anybody would actually pay money to come see me play my songs, it's a huge, huge gift. And so I want to make sure that everybody leaves there feeling like it was a really good decision that they made.
Yeah. And as someone who's been to plenty of Rob Thomas concerts, you should definitely go see him on his tour. He's stopping all across the country. Get all the details and tickets at robthomasmusic.com. And don't forget to check out Rob Thomas's new album, Chip Tooth Smile.
Said incorrectly on purpose.
It's out now, and it is also so amazing. Rob Thomas, thank you so much. Such a treat.
You know, you can just call me Rob.
Okay, Rob. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.